So the cracked shofar. So the Mishnah in the bottom of Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph mentions a number of psulim that would be problematic for the structure of the shofar, right? So we have the broken pieces, like lots of different pieces. Then we have, of course, the shofar with the hole in it. And then, finally, we have the case of the shofar that kind of cracks and splits. Right? The three basic issues. I would assume, especially since once we've seen the Gemara, you realize that the case in the Mishnah is, how did it crack? Length or widthwise? Lengthwise, right? It cracked lengthwise. So that's there, and the Gemara says it's possible, right? The Mishnah says it's possible. I'm alluding, of course, thank you, Ben, to the Gemara, right, which on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Bet introduces to the Chiluk that the crack lengthwise is possible, clearly echoing our Mishnah, but a crack nistak larochvo, crack widthwise, said it depends. What did it depend on? How much is left above the crack that you could say basically forget everything below a mini shofar. And that was where the Gemara introduced a concept, which I guess we're not going to get into, of the shear shofar, right? So as long as it was a shear tkia, that's his own discussion exactly what that means, but there is a way of saving that. But basically the Gemara had told us that a split lengthwise is possible, and a split widthwise may or may not be possible depending on how much is left. Now, the Mishnah, when it originally made the case, didn't just say it was broke, but it also said that it was glued back together. Or I didn't mean that in the giving away, so to speak, but it was somehow reassembled. Or some of the crack was brought together. So Rashi says, how did that happen? Basically, I guess in old French for glue. So did anyone notice the Rishonim, right, including in particular the Ritva, were bothered by what's the problem with that? What's the problem with Rashi? Min ve'eino mino, which the Gemara Chav Zayin Amud Bet mentioned, if you add things to the shofar, if they're not the same thing, of a different species, min ve'eino mino, so isn't glue a problem? So that's like a glaring question on Rashi. Did you guys look into that at all?
Why can't it be some type of animal glue, something like that?
So maybe that counts as mino?
Yeah. Or outside.
Didn't children deal with that?
Yes. So.
Outside.
And? Is it a shofar glue?
Some sort of glue that's from meat.
Right, so I'm not sure if that's what he meant, or I think what he might have meant was that you heat the shofar.
Yeah.
That's how I understood it. That you somehow heat the shofar, and that makes it somehow some adhesive or something. The shofar itself naturally melts. Now, with metal, we would certainly understand that. It's hard to imagine that with shofar. In fact, the Rush rejects that because he says it's impossible. He just says it can't be. So it's like a very mitziuti. That part, but he says that can't be. So, yes.
When you boil like a one, and you can like remold it.
So maybe he knew. Maybe they knew what they were talking about.
Yeah, and like also, I think like in kashrut, if you have like a knife that's like the handle is worn, and you can't like do hagala on that because like you'll be cautious that when you put it in hot water,
it'll melt or whatever. Interesting. Okay, so that's a good defense of maybe the Ramban and the Ritva. The Ritva was quoting the Ramban. But the Rush, and if I don't know if you saw the Rush, gives, I think, the classical answer, although it's really intriguing. If we continue with Rosh Hashanah, then maybe we'll see other echoes of it. The Rush said that actually you did somehow, you plugged it, what do you call it, like a chaticha acheres into the hole of the chatzitza, which sounds like it's not necessarily glue, but... Yeah, it's like kind of like puzzle pieces, and therefore that itself, it's not so much, the Mishnah didn't mean you glue it as much as you plug it. So plugging it avoids that technical problem. Okay, that's an interesting kind of technical way, so to speak, to get back to us. But the Rush says that's the problem, because by plugging it. But the Rush says, if you somehow reattach it, let's say there's just a crack and you push it together, and he had this line, which I think was important, where it's chozer kamot shehi. In other words, now, eino nikeres, he says. When you look at it after that, you don't. If you're plugging something into a hole, a real crack, so then you can see that, right? The filler is clearer, right? But if you kind of just bring it together, so then maybe since it's eino nikar, that itself is intriguing, because that obviously perhaps gives us a little bit of an indication of what is bothered by it, right? If you're focusing on this to kind of telegraph a little bit where we want to go right now in terms of making this from what some of you thought was just a technical sugya into something a little bit more lumdish. So if you tell me that the problem can be solved if the glue, quote unquote, or whatever you're doing is eino nikar, so what does that tell you about what you think the problem is? Do you avoid the problem or you rectify the problem when your fix is eino nikar? Right? Slightly deeper than that. That it isn't. that the problem is when it is nikar. But what nikar is something that focuses on what? The shofar itself. Right? What's the alternative to focusing on the shofar?
The kol.
The kol. So there I think we're talking, that's not a technical question anymore. Now we're talking about something more fundamental. Right? What is the chisaron? Is the chisaron in the shofar? Or is the chisaron somehow in the kol? So maybe by that focus of nikar, so as long as if the only problem is the shofar, and you avoid the technical problem of min bimino, and it's not nikar, so what do I got to do with the kol? The answer is no. The whole focus of that perspective was that it was on the shofar. So that's, even before we get to the big issue, which we want to get to now, which is the heart of the sugya, perhaps we have a little bit of a telegraphing. You see what we did? And as we saw, even this technical thing of like what was the glue or the plugging talking about, but the way that was addressed may give us a clue about the more basic question. Okay, but the more basic question, when we speak about the nistak l'orcho, the crack down the length of the shofar is, again, two questions which are obviously connected, but important to separate them, right? What happened? What's the crack? That's the mitziuti question. But then the second question is, what's the psul? Why is that a problem? Okay, so the first sheet, of course, was Rashi. And what did Rashi say? Rashi says the crack is a problem because you have the problem of shnei shofros. Now, when you read the Mishnah, I don't think for most of us that came to the front of our mind, did it? So the Rishonim, all the other Rishonim, starting with Tosos, but not limited, say that, you know, Rashi kind of blew our mind with that. That's a little bit of a chiddush. Because the Mishnah says it's a cracked shofar, therefore it's Shnayim or Shalosha Shofrot. So what are they in Medayik that in the Mitziut, before we haven't gotten to the Psul, we haven't done anything halachic yet, just the Mitziut. What's the phenomenon according to Rashi? Tosos is Diok, it's not in Rashi, but everyone seems to agree from Tosos afterwards. Not just that it cracked, not that there's just a crack in the shofar, but that it completely split into two. Excellent. Right? Now that's not obvious in Rashi, it wasn't obvious in the Mishnah. But because Rashi applied the Psul of Shnei Shofros, so the Rishonim said, well, it's got to be. Then the two shofros. If you just have a crack in a shofar, maybe good, maybe bad, but you wouldn't call that shnei shofros. So that itself is very interesting in terms of the mitzius. So Rashi now, if that's correct, and all the other Rishonim seem to assume that, so Rashi has a mitzius of a cracking in two, even though somehow with some adhesion you put it back together, it still constitutes shnei shofros. Right? That is the first shita of Rashi. We're good? Fantastic. Now, Tosvos didn't like that. Now, why does Tosvos not like that? Now, theoretically, Tosvos could have been bothered by, does that really count as Shnei Shofros? Or he could have attacked on a more halachic, fundamental level. But what does Tosvos do instead?
Saying that's different case than Mishnah.
Right. So that's, again, now that's technical, but, or you could call that pshat. In other words, very, very often, something might be great hypothetically, but it just doesn't work into the way a different Rishon thinks you read the Gemara or read the Mishnah. So here you have a pretty strong prima facie argument, right? There's a list of three cases in the Mishnah. The way they're understanding Rashi, two of them are basically redundant. Anyone give a thought to how would we rescue Rashi from that? That seems to be a pretty good question. Yeah. Good. That's very good. Did you see anyone say that?
No.
Okay, that's good. The Rush says something similar to that. Excellent. The Rush says that shivrei shofos are where you have kind of multiple pieces. He also adds that it's along the width. So he says, imagine... Is there a marker there?
Great example.
Is there a marker?
No.
Oh, I just have to use this. Right. Okay, but yeah, exactly. So it's like rings. And it's multiple cracks around this, around this, around this, like these lines. Exactly.
What are you saying?
That's the Rush to defend Rashi.
First shivrei shofar.
Yes. Yeah, so he's saying, what exactly? Yeah. So that case is for sure worse, he says, because that was not nistak l'orcho. He says that's multiple cracks around here, where you then are adding pieces, and then when you blow the shofar, your kol, your voice, is going through and touching all of the different pieces from the different shofars. Exactly. So then you for sure have shnei shofars. Rashi's interpretation of one shofar cracking lengthwise and reattaching So that's a bigger chiddush to be machmir on that, because that doesn't seem to be nearly as deficient as shivrei shofar. So that's very good. That's more or less what the Rosh says. And as far as I know, that was kind of the best answer, because that really it seems like a pretty devastating. Again, it's not the most exciting question, but it seems a pretty devastating body blow to Rashi. So perhaps the Rosh defends Rashi that way. Leave that as it may. But what is Tosus Hashita? So what is Tosus rejects Rashi because he doesn't think it works with the Mishnah. So what is Tosus Hashita?
I mean, it's not hidden too. It's the crack on the lane.
Right. So it's basically, it's basically along one side, but it doesn't separate the shofar. Even if it goes all the way to the bottom, but it's only on one side, and therefore the shofar. I'll take your question 1 second. So that's again. So remember, we're dealing on two levels, right? Mitziut. What's the case? Now, what's the problem? Now, right away, and theoretically, we already have one problem on the board. Shnei shofros. But once Tosfos make their move about the Metzius question, it's almost guaranteeing that they're going to have a different psul, right? Because if it never detaches, it's all still one shofar, just with a crack on one side, it would be a humongous chiddush if Tosfos had then come and said, oh, but it's still the problem of Shnei Shofros. All right, I agree with Rashi on the psul, but I disagree with Rashi on the case. You see what's happening? Once he assumes, and again, this is not like a halachic category generated machlokas, right? It's a literary machlokas. It's how do we fit this into the words of the Mishnah? Once Tosfos feel that they're first to reject Rashi's Metzius based on their reading of the Mishnah, the new Metzius requires new halachic thinking as well. And that results in a different shita, which is, what did Tosfos say? What's the psul?
He has no shame shoulder.
Exactly. So that's a fascinating idea. Now, that's like, you know, Brisker terminology 101, right? Someone thought, it can't be only a technical sukkah. We have a shame shofar and a rishon. Right? So this says there's no meaning, but here's the chiddush, though. Even if you've reassembled it, remember the case in the Mishnah is you've reassembled it. Again, whatever the technical issue with the glue is, but you've reassembled it. Nevertheless, once it loses its structural integrity, even when you reassemble it, it's not two shofros, it's not even one. It's almost like, you know, in that sense, you could say that Rashi and Tosfos are almost exact opposite, right? Rashi says it's multiple shofros, and Tosfos says it's not even one. Ein shem shofar alav. Now, the chiddush in Tosfos is to say that that's true, even though it never separated. I don't know if I would have said that on my own. But that is, in the end, where Tosfos leads us. Yes?
Is it clear if we're talking about a crack, all the way through the shofar, as in, like, if you put your hand into the shofar, and you'd be able to touch your hand.
Well, if your hand was that thin, you mean?
Yes.
Or you slide a piece of paper.
Yeah, and you'd be able to slide a piece of paper through the crack, or is it just a crack on the outside?
Well, if it's just a crack on the outside, I think it would be the same as if it's cracked l'ruchlo, no?
I don't remember and someone else see something. I don't remember seeing something inside on that.
No, but if it's
but logically, I just assumed it.
Assumed that it is.
That does go all the way through.
If we're talking about alternate kol or go, and it goes.
But again, that just means from like mouth to foot, so to speak.
Correct. How physically, I can't imagine that you could blow that. The air would just go through the.
Well, first of all, remember it's being reattached. When the Mishnah's case was, it was glued together. Okay. Now, but maybe, good, you see, maybe you just answered my question or my ha'ara a minute ago, which is I said, if it didn't totally detach into two, like if you looked at it, you could still pick it up, throw it, juggle it. It was still it looked like a shofar to me, right? It just has a crack on one side. Would you have? I mentioned 2 minutes ago. That's a little bit of chiddush to say that's ain shame shofar. But maybe what you just said is the answer. Maybe, I'm not sure. Maybe the reason it doesn't have a shame shofar is because it's no longer functional. Even though you can save it, but once it's lost, it's lost.
Basically, because it needs the glue in order to work. It's
maybe. I don't know for sure that you're right, but that if you're right, that might help, I think, even enhance Tosos. Excellent.
I think to Fariz's question, I think if it's the crack doesn't go all the way down, then it would be the same as if it's cracked lengthwise.
He didn't say it doesn't go all the way down. He says it goes all the way through.
Yeah, meaning the crack doesn't go all the way from the top to the bottom.
No, that's not what he means.
Does the crack go on the outside of the shofar, or is it just cracked on the outside?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right here.
You want to say that? Okay, good. So that is our second... That is our second shita. Now, a good segue to our third shita, which is, I think, the one that's going to take us to our final point, is that there's a little bit of a discussion, which you could miss until you see the Rimi Lunil, which is that Tosfos, and we've been talking about this a minute ago, Tosfos seems to say that it's nistak, right, for the entire length, right? And we've been stressing that. Why did Tosfos, you know, mention that? Well, first of all, what did the Ritva say? The Ritva has, like, you can miss it. Who caught it? Ori, did you catch it? What does the Ritva say? The Ritva does not say that. The Ritva does say that. The Ritva says either it cracked along the entire length from head to foot, or from mouth to...
Or rove.
Excellent. Now, in and of itself, that might be inconsequential. Rubo kakulo. So maybe you think, you know, does Tosfos really reject that, or did he just not mention it? Good. So right when you see the Ritva, just you start thinking, like, how much does that really matter or not? How do you understand Rubo kakulo? If anyone's interested, Rabbi Tarragon just yesterday, I think, put out his first Talmudic methodology shiur on the VBM of the year, and is on Rubo kakulo. So if you want to go take a look, see what he says there. But that is Ritva. Again, it's hard to know. You know, does Tosfos really not allow that? I mean, would Tosfos be Mekil if it was only Rov? Or did Tosfos probably agree with the Ritva? Hard to know 100%. Again, maybe, Tosfos would say it has to be Arko. It has to be the Kulo, because, again, Tosfos is trying to say it loses its shame shofar. So how much do you have to be missing to lose your shame shofar? Maybe for that you really need the whole thing. Maybe therefore Tosfos disagrees with the Ritva. I'm not sure. But it is just something worth noting. But as Ori just said, what it orients us to and it kind of leads us to is the Rimi Lunil. So the Rimi Lunil is quoted by the Ran, the Yesh Mechbirim, right? Or Yesh Mefarshim, and the Rush. And the Ran quotes the Rimi Lunil by new name. The Rimi Lunil says, even if it's a small split, teeny bit, that's an unbelievable chumrah. A teeny split. Even if it's a small split on the surface of the shofar, that's enough to disqualify it. So the question is why? So the way...
Is it going all the way through, or just...
Well, again, you're asking Yitzi's question. Does it go through to the inside, you mean?
Is it nikav, as in nikav kosher, you have a bit missing, or nikav, as in...
The way I understand it, photo our previous discussion, is that any of the cracks we're talking about go all the way through, so to speak. If you could, you could slide a piece of paper through it, so to speak. But as opposed to the Tosfos says it goes from the mouth all the way down, and the Ritva says it goes kind of rove, according to the Rabino Mil, he doesn't say where. I mean, pretty much anywhere in any size of a crack.
Which the
Ritva defines as nikav. Right. So the question is, why should that be? So the way the Rimi Lunil is quoted, he gives a very practical problem. What does he say? Right. The more you blow, it's gonna be a problem. Now, when you read, until you get to the Ritva citation of this, you don't have a halachic category associated with that. And the reason that I note that is because when I first saw the Rimi Lunil, my first response, I don't know if anyone felt the same way, was, so what? But right now it's fine. You know, people sometimes say, you know, every day we're dying a little bit. Okay, but right now I'm alive. And as you know, a goses is alive and, you know, is the chay l'chodover, and this shofar is not a goses yet. I'm just using it as a broad mashal. My shofar is alive. Okay. So, like, so what? When you keep on, my son 2 years ago for his bar mitzvah, when he put on tefillin, I'm thinking about it now because tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, my second son is on tefillin. So thank you. So of course they got their own tefillin, you know, bought them tefillin. But my father, my mother's father, my grandfather, I was very, very close with, my kid's great grandfather, Holocaust survivor, shortly after he came back to America, you know, after the war, came to America, he bought tefillin and he had them, and then he passed away. He passed away my first year in YU. So they were, first of all, they're old, obviously. He bought them in the 40s. And second of all, they were typical of the quality of tefillin being made in America in the 40s, which wasn't so great. So I wanted to know, like, it was very nostalgic for my mother that her grandchildren should wear her father's tefillin, as you can imagine, but we had to see if they're kosher or not. So I took them to the sofer, and a guy lives in my neighborhood, great guy, an American guy, and he said, actually, they are kosher, amazingly, they are kosher. But he said, but like, they're going to fall, he thought this was going to be like my son's shofar, my tefillin for every day. It's like, they're going to fall apart. I can't tell you if it's 2 years or 3 years, but like, you wear them every day, they're not going to last. So actually, no, they're getting their own tefillin. This is just a nice symbolic thing maybe for the month until their bar mitzvah and all the grandkids in the family. This is now my son's going to be, this is the third one because my nephew used them also. It's very beautiful, kind of a family thing. I just mentioned that because it's on my mind, but also because the bottom line was, so all he was saying to me was, yeah, in 2 or 3 years, they might apostle. But right now, they're not. It hasn't fallen apart now. It's fine. So why does the Ritva save the day for that? How does the Ritva save the day? Because the Ritva says, so the Ritva, in terms of his explanation, I don't mean what his own sheet is, but his explanation, why does the Rimi Lunil say even a tiny crack is possible? So the Ritva uses a halachic term. Anyone catch that? What was the halachic term of the Ritva?
It's as if that it's broken down.
Well, how do you say that in Yeshivish? Kala Omeid. Excellent. Kala Omeid. Anyone familiar with that from other parts of Shas?
Right.
No, that's Roy Labila. That's different. That's almost the inverse of that. Right, so sometimes we say in halacha, Lizro kedami, Kotzutz dami, Tuma, and Kodshim, right, in different areas of halacha, there is such an idea. So if that's true, so then what we're saying is that it's not like the tefillin. It's not my son's son, my grandfather's son. You know, that yes, of course, eventually everything gets puzzled, eventually everything breaks down. No, no, halachically it's already as if it's broken down. Now, why should you say that? The other Rishonim don't say that. Okay, but at least we would understand it. But there's another problem. The other problem is that usually we don't hold that way. We don't usually hold, even though it comes up in the Gemara, we don't usually hold halacha l'maaseh and that kind of kala omeid thing. So it's possible that's the pshat, but that's the Ritva pshat. But either way, clearly in the words of the Rimi Lunil himself, we have an idea of a functionality issue, right? It's not so much that a little crack is a problem. It's that either if you take the Rimi Lunil pashup shot, eventually it'll break, or if you take the Ritva's lumdasizing of the Rimi Lunil, because it's gonna break, it's as if it's broken, right? But why am I stressing this? I just need 5 more minutes for the gold here. I mean, it's already been silver, but we're gonna want to get to the gold. Why am I stressing that? Because according to this understanding of the Rimi Lunil, the real issue is not a small crack per se, but the fact that it's either gonna break or it's as if it's already broken, right? It's a very practical, because of that practical concern, nekuda, or because of that practical concern, halachically we look at it already as broken. What it was not is the alternate way, which would be a real lumdish way of looking, really of looking at the real, a real chiddush, which is to say, perhaps, no, kamoshahu, just a little crack alone is a problem. Two questions. A, how do we know which is the right pshat in the Rimi Lunil? And B, that second pshat, why would that be? What could make the sense? You hear the question? What could it be that the small crack per se would be a problem? So one way to test that, which one it is the Ravid. Because one way to test, if we're saying, well, because it's going to eventually break, therefore it's already broken, or don't use it, don't get started. So the Ravid said, I have a patent, and I have just a very low-tech, MacGyver-esque, if you catch my 1980s reference, way of solving the problem, which is, take a little popsicle stick or, you know, something like that and tie it around. So, you know, let's figure out a way without gluing and permanently whatever. Just make sure it's not going to break. Even the glue, eventually the glue breaks. Again, it seems like the Rabbi thinks it's even a better solution than the glue. So if that's the case, so that certainly is consistent with the simple pshat of the Rimi Lunil or the Ritva's version of the Rimi Lunil, that, okay, it's all practical. It's all about that future, and if you can somehow avoid that future, if you can avoid it cracking, then Enochanami, even the Rimi Lunil would agree that a small crack isn't a problem. The Rimi Lunil only thinks a small crack is a problem because he thinks it's inevitable it's going to crack completely. But if it doesn't crack completely, if you can figure out a band-aid approach, it would work. So last but not least, here's where the Kolbo comes in. So people were hating on the Kolbo yesterday, but if you looked at the wrong Kolbo, which is meaning the one that I gave you, then it's my fault, not yours. But then Ari Barshin, I think, took a picture of the right Kolbo, right? So what did the Kolbo add? He quoted this shot of the Ravid, you know, his band-aid approach. But what did the Kolbo add? A big chumrah to the. Right? The Ravid is a big kula, because even within the most machmir sheet of the Rimi Lunil, you can solve the problem with the band-aid, with the popsicle stick. comes along the Kolbo and says, but even within that, I'll give you a huge chumrah. I mean, it's huge relative, because we're talking about the most machmir shita. He had just been makel in it. But within that kula, which you want to accept from the Ravid, says the Kolbo, one final chumrah. And of course, the reason this is really relevant is because this is in Shulchan Aruch. This is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. This is why. That's how I know it. I don't know every Kolbo, but you got to know how to look for things. This is what you're learning this year. How to look for things. So what's the answer? What was the chumrah of the Kolbo? What is mentioned as at least a day in Shulchan Aruch? I'll read it, it's one line. V'hu sheyishtayer shir tekiya mimakam hakshir ulamala letzarapeh. It only works, as the Kolbo, if above the crack, you've band-aided something, Rav Mordechai, the, you know, you figured out to be a medic, you saved your little chauffeur a crack. It's not going to crack more. But that apparently is not enough. Says the Kolbo, above that crack to the mouth, has to be at least a tefach, which is the shir tekiya. That's not in the Ravid, that's not in the Rimilunil, that is invented, as far as I know, by the Kolbo. Now the question is, why should that be? After all, the Ravid just solved the problem. If the whole problem of the Rimilunil was practically, it's inevitably going to crack, but now I solved the problem. It seems to me very dochuk to think that what the Kolbo was saying is, even with your Band-Aid, but unless you have above it a solid tefach, it's still going to crack. I mean, it could be. That's the only way I could think of to maintain our entire kivun of practical, practical, practical. We're worried that with enough blowing and handling, it's all going to crack. I, the Ravid, came up with a solution. Yeah, but unless there's above it a sheer tefach, it'll still eventually crack. You could say that. Anyone persuaded by that? I'm not. So I think, so what the Kolbo indicates, I think, is that unless you somehow save the shofar by saying, I have a shir tekiya above it. So basically it's irrelevant what's below it. Just like with nistak l'rochvo, the Gemara said, as long as you have a shir tekiya above the crack, it doesn't matter. Which is basically saying we don't care about the crack. Not that the crack is okay. It's as if the crack doesn't exist, because the shofar doesn't exist then. Okay, that takes us out of everything. What I think what he's really saying is that somehow the crack itself, even teeny according to the Rimilunil, a minor mini crack, a miyut crack, is a problem, per se. Now, here's what we conclude. Why would that be? There's one whole approach to the Rimilunil's chumrah was a practical one, and it works very beautifully with the Pashup Shat and the Ravid. But the Kolbo's take on the Rimilunil and that chumrah, I think, is very hard to maintain with a totally practical approach. So what are we left with? It sounds like it's not practical, but rather, per se, fundamentally, a small crack is a problem. Why should that be? So Morenu v'Rabenu, Rabbi Terrigan, would have been better. I was really hoping I could do this in his shiurim. Many of our Rebbe from last year and for many years. So he has an article in general about shofar, which I think a shorter version is in the yeshiva's, you know, Rosh Hashanah Yediot Sefer, and I think even actually the longer version may be on the VBM somewhere. I don't remember where I saw it originally. Where he has a chiddush. It's really kedai to see. He wants to say that at least according to some makoros or some rishonim, there's a concept of mum when it comes to shofar. That's for you, Aryeh Kodshim. Mum, which is usually on a living object, a mum, there could be a mum in the shofar. That there's a kind of a Kodshim angle to shofar, and a mum is a problem. Mum, he has a number of examples where he tries to prove that. Again, it's a speculative chiddush, but he has proofs for it, at least he tries. And one of the things that he mentioned in that article is this Kolbo. So there you have coming full circle, right? We kept on saying, well, what else could it be? It must be this practical thing. The Chiddush, perhaps, if he's right, is that it's the, now, whether you go with Rabbi Terrigan or not, I think it's fascinating. It's a really intriguing idea. Maybe he's really right. That's amazing. If he's not, I think you're still left with saying, we don't exactly understand why, but you see from the Kolbo, there's a fundamental issue, not a practical issue. It's not just inevitably what's going to happen, it's what is already happened now. So, just to take a step back, again, we saw the different shitos of the crack shofar. There's the metzius question of what are we talking about, then there's the psul question. Basically, in the original thing, we thought three shitos, right? Rashi focuses on shnei shofros, etc., which sounds like the focus on the heftza of the shofar as well. How many shofros are there? The Tosfos says the opposite of Rashi in a sense, although conceptually, in a certain sense, the same way. He's focusing on the chefza of the shofar, namely, ain shem shofar. There is no shofar. And with the Rimilunil, who seems to be in that kivun has this huge chiddush that doesn't mean the whole shofar is cracked, even a rove of the shofar, even a teeny bit. What's the problem with that? Maybe practically it's inevitably going to break, maybe kala omeid, or maybe Allah the kolbo, it's per se a problem. Why should that be? It's teeny. Maybe it indicates this larger idea of the mum concept in the shofar. Okay, any more questions? I think it was a good sugya. Yes?
The way to run the kolbo quoted the Rebbe Daniel, as opposed to the way the Rebbe did, is it seemed to be focusing on the fact that it's going to break when you blow it. Like when you blow the shofar, you're weakening it.
Yes, I think, yes.
I suppose the Rebbe just said, like, oh, it's going to happen.
So what do you think the Rebbe meant?
Whatever, that things wear, things, if you leave things to, like, it sounded like the stress was by doing
the mitzvah tzkiyah itself.
Yeah, is destroying the object. And then
even though on some level that's true for every single shofar, like for every time you put on your tefillin, right? That's what, if you let it stay in a nice air-conditioned room forever, it would never, right? But I hear what you say, but still, it's more in your, it's more of a mitzvah, so what do you think, so what would come of that? If you're right, I'm not sure if you're reading too much into it or not. What do you think, what would you draw from that?
Not entirely sure. I don't know. I think that maybe that is the psul. That the psul is not in the gufa shofar. The psul is in the fact that
the ma'aseh tzkiyah
is destructive.
Okay. Very intriguing.
I'm not sure if I can make it more like.
Right. So I would say if you're right, you think, could you say that even when it's a minor one and what about the Ravid? Would the Ravid's popsicle stick work according to you?
I mean that's what the Ron says, right?
But do you think the Ravid would agree with that? I mean, the Ron, he quotes the Ravid, but
that's not the Ravid yet. Thanks to the Chidas Ravid, Rujasha Shalom, etc.
No, that is the Ravid. He said that the Chain Das Ravid. That is the Ravid.
Fine. But then, so yeah, because it's preventing it from, that's preventing anything from happening when you blow it.
So you're suggesting, which is very interesting, is that it's not so fundamental like this mum idea, but it's not purely practical, like because something eventually breaks, it's something somewhere in the middle, that there's something fundamentally problematic when your ma'aseh mitzvah practically is going to lead to its destruction.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know if you're right, but it's very intriguing. Very intriguing. It's a good ha'arav. Okay? All right. Say Yischem L'Shalom to me. Bye to all of you.
Emotion is relative.
So. Yeah, exactly. That's right. I will be in 11 schools in multiple cities. So if I see any of your Rebbeim or your friends or... I'll be happy. Thank you very much. Unless there's anyone in particular. I'm not going to your alma mater. Yeah. This trip does not include SAR. Or Boston or things like that. What?
MTA.
I am going to MTA. But I'm not going to see kids. I'm meeting with Rabbi Shulman.
What a guy.
I know him from YOA. He's got that quiet, deep voice.
Yeah.
He's got great sarcastic humor. I'm hoping, I don't know if it looks like I can't come until like 2 in the afternoon, but he told me that Rebbeim stay all day, even after Limud HaKodesh time. I told him in advance that I'm coming. I'm hoping to meet with Rabbi Cohn, Rabbi Mendelsohn, and maybe even Rabbi Danto. To have a little heart-to-heart. So we'll see how that goes. Rabbi, anyway. We don't all share the same love for these, so... Okay, that's what I'm here for. What else? Who else? Where else do you guys go? Who else do we have? One of the schools represented. Sorry, I'm not going. I wish if you guys would. Someone should send me there.
Are you going to Jez's alma mater?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Alma mater is a Jew.
Yeah, I wish.
She will give this out on Monday?
Yes. No, Sunday. Sunday. Because I'll give a chabura on Monday.
Okay. So either I will or I'll give to them.
Yeah.
Right. Enjoy.
Thank you very much.
Godspeed.
I'm going to Frisch, by the way.
The Mordechai Monique Katz Academic Building?
There we go.
I am going to Frisch.
You know, they just gave $15 million to us.
Really? How do you know them?
Why? I read that article about Richard Gold.
Oh, they went to Frisch. The Katz's.
Yeah, pretty sure they go to their first family?
The Methodists?
Yeah.
No, the other ones.
I think the grandkids went.
Oh, not, you guys, Frisch already has the horse racing guy. How many more? How much money do you need?
It's not the Mexican.
Yeah, from Englewood or whatever.
They're not the Mexican.
Oh, they're Levantinic.
But not our.
Right.
That's Mordecai and Adina.
Yeah.
This is. What's his name?
All right, I hope to see your Rebbeim.
What's it called?
Something in
Monique.
Something in
Monique. Talk to them.
Something in Monique.
Mordecai and Monique.
I'm an optimist, Dory. We just ended.
They're older Americans. They're also something else.
Yes, okay, so that should be the easiest to dispel. Yeah.